ground pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there, way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Eight strikeouts for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for
Felix. Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager, that just happened. Thank you very much.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
And welcome back to the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Gary Hill with you. Thanks for being back once again as we have a whole lot to cover in this podcast, a full weekend of exciting baseball action. The Mariners taking on the Oakland A's over the weekend, so we have a lot to talk about there. We have a starter for the Seattle Mariners on the All-Star team. We'll touch on that. It is Monday, of course, so bullpen banter is back. We have the week that was. It's coming at the very end. Also, a lot of moves made over the weekend. We'll talk about those. Lloyd McClendon, we'll touch on those as well. And also, we'll hear from Lloyd McClendon talking about his family situation, a very difficult situation. He's going to be away from the team for 3 days, and we'll touch on that as well. So, a lot to get to in this podcast. Very glad you're with us. And what leads up to a very exciting week at Safeco Field with the Tigers in, then the Angels after that, and then it's the All-Star break. So, a big homestand for the M's, coming off a winning road trip and a split against the Oakland A's. And what was a pretty interesting series, they lost the first game of the series. They were blanked as Scott Kazmir was simply sensational. 8 shutout innings against the M's as he really rolled. And then on Friday, Mariners really had the sticks going. It was all about the 2-run home run on Friday night in Oakland.
Runner goes. Here's the pitch. It's swung on and hit high and deep to right field. Back on it is Reddick. He's at the warning track. He's at the wall. And this one is gone. A 2-run home run by Seth Smith. And with one swing of the bat, the Mariners have taken the lead here in the 6th inning. It's the Mariners 4. It's the Oakland A's 3. A wallop by Smith has given the M's the lead.
Came with 2 outs in that ball game, so the Mariners, at that point, a 4-3 lead, and then they got into the A's bullpen. The Oakland Athletics, one of the best rotations in the game, but if you can get to their bullpen, a chance to do some damage, and the Mariners ended up doing a lot of damage against that A's pen.
The 0-2 to Nelly, swing and a fly ball deep into the gap, in right center field, going and going, goodbye baseball, he got him in. Nelson Cruz with his 21st home run of the season. Mariners 3rd 2-run home run in tonight's game, and it's now the Mariners 6 and the A's 3, number 21 for Nelly Cruz. Here's a swing and a drive deep into the gap in right center field. Going back, Burns leaps up, and this one is gone. Goodbye, baseball. Holy smokes, the 4th 2-run shot for the Mariners in tonight's game. Brad Miller with his 8th home run of the season. And it's now the Mariners 9 and the Athletics 3. Number 8 for Brad Miller.
The A's would tack on a couple more, but the final 9-5 as the Mariners, well, they broke out the sticks. 4 2-run home runs in the ball game. You heard 3 of them there. Morrison hit one as well early in the ball game. Jay Happ pitched really well, 6 innings, 3 earned runs, but he actually pitched better than his final line would indicate, and the bullpen came on. Carson Smith, for the first time in his career, gave up 2 runs in 1 outing, but Charlie Furbush, who quietly, I don't know how much attention, I don't think he's getting enough attention, I'll say that, but he has put together a really fantastic year from the left side. And then Mark Lowe, who just continues to roll again. He has been so good for the Mariners. He pitched in that ball game and pitched really well, and his stuff was just filthy.
Here's the 1-2. Oh, inside, yeah. Corner, strike 3, called down. He goes. A wicked heater at 95, scraping the inner half, and that's the inning. Nothing Billy Burns could do about that one. He goes down looking, and Lowe goes 1-2-3 here in the 7th frame.
Man, Lowe is quite a story. We'll talk about him more in just a second because he came up big again on Sunday. So the Mariners take game 2 of the series, 9-5. And then game three with Felix on the hill, you felt pretty good about. But then Kendall Graveman, you knew it was going to be a tough matchup. Graveman, one of the hottest pitchers in the big leagues. He had a similar June to Mike Montgomery, so to give you an idea where he was at. And Graveman, he was great. Seven innings, shut out the M's. The bullpen came on, including Clippard, Pomerantz, and they kept the Mariners off the board. So blank for the second time in the series. Meanwhile, Felix, seven innings, two runs, walk two and fan six. Nice outing from Felix against the A's, who third best scoring team in the majors in terms of runs scored. I mean, that's an outing you take each and every time, especially with all the trouble he was in time after time after time. But again, just hit and somehow, some way, for the most part, keep the A's off the board. I thought without his best stuff, that was a courageous start by Felix Hernandez, but it goes down as a loss nonetheless. David Rollins, who got called up, and we'll talk about the moves here in a second. He made his major league debut and pitched a clean inning. So, big day on Sunday. The Mariners were going for the series split, and they also were going for a winning road trip. So, a very important ball game. Mike Montgomery on the hill, and, you know, he pitched two straight shutouts. So, the question was, what would be in store in this one? And what was in store was another good outing.
Here's a swing and a pop-up right near the bag at second. Over to his left, Brad Miller almost standing on the bag. He's there. Sunshine glistening off his sunglasses, and he makes the catch for out number three. In the bottom of the second for the A's, no runs, no hits, no errors. Nobody left on. 20 consecutive scoreless innings for Mike Montgomery, one away from the Mariner club record of 21 by a rookie.
Yeah, he was trying to track down Mark Langston and didn't quite get there because the next inning, his scoreless streak would come to an end. No three shutouts in a row.
The pitch, swing, and this is clobbered to right field. Smith moving back. Smith looking up, and it's gone. Sam Fold, home run number one on the season, and the consecutive scoreless inning streak by Mike Montgomery is halted abruptly at 20.
But still pitched well. He goes 5 2/3, gives up one run. But the Mariners would pick up two in the sixth inning. And this, to me, was just straight justice, as Seth Smith was robbed twice the game before that potentially could have led to runs both times. The A's defense coming up pretty big. But in the sixth inning yesterday, Smith a little revenge. He was actually robbed of base hits three times in a row. Well, he wasn't robbed this time.
Bassett, the pause, and now the pitch. Swinging a line drive, and it's through up the middle for a base hit. Cano scores from third. That ties the ball game up. Here comes Cruz, the throw home. It's not in time. Cruz, the headlong tumble slide, and the Mariners have taken the lead as Seth Smith drives in two. And it's 2-1 Mariners in the sixth inning.
There it was, 2-1. So he goes, as I mentioned, 5 2/3 inning. The bullpen came over. Mark Lowe again, an inning and a third. His ERA now at 0.72. Unbelievable. Bimal. And then Fernando Rodney on. And Lloyd McClendon talked about it after the game. He liked the matchup with Rodney. So he goes with his former closer, now kind of closer again, as Rodney slams the door and gets the save with two on.
And the 0-2 on the way, swing and a chopper to third. Coming up is Seager. He's got it. Toss across in time to get Canna, and this ball game is over. The Mariners win it this afternoon, a final score of 2-1. They come away with a split of the four-game series here in Oakland. They come home with a winning road trip, a record of 5-4. And Mike Montgomery, the rookie left-hander, picks up his fourth win of the year. He goes to 4-2, going 5 2/3 innings this afternoon. And Fernando Rodney made a little interesting in the bottom of the ninth inning, but he will pick up his 16th save of the year.
So there it was, the win for the M's. Mike Montgomery was very good once again. His last three starts now, a 0.38 ERA. Tough to beat that. He has been unbelievable. Here's what he had to say after the ball game.
You know, you don't want to, but, you know, I left the pitch out of the plate, and he took advantage of it. And, you know, it happens. They're good hitters, really good hitters, so, you know, they're going to take advantage of those mistakes.
Now you're going to be pretty happy with the backup.
Yeah, it was good. And, you know, I just kind of same plan, just try to, you know, limit pitches, go deep in the game, and get guys out. And they're a scrappy team. They're really good. And, you know, they kind of battled me tough. And I really didn't have maybe the put-away pitches that I wanted today. But I got some good ground balls when I needed to. And, you know, we made some really good plays. And, you know, the bullpen came in and picked me up big time. And you know, they did an outstanding job. And Seth, you know, had that big hit. So, you know, I think anytime you can walk out of here with a win, it's a good feeling.
Mike, you went back-to-back complete games. Did you feel the effects of that at all?
You know, maybe a little bit. I just thought my pitches weren't quite as sharp, and especially my off-speed. But, you know, I kind of just wanted to keep battling, just try to find a way to get the job done. And, you know, I made some good pitches when I had to, got some ground balls, and, you know, it worked out.
You don't have the put-away pitch today. How does that change what you're trying to do? What goes in your mind, okay, now at this point I've got to do?
Yeah, it's, you know, I think you just got to command your fastball better when you don't really have that. And, you know, I think my curveball and cutter were actually probably better than my changeup today. My changeup, it was really more of a put-in-play pitch, and, you know, just didn't have that same bite late life. And I just wasn't throwing it as well as I had the last couple games. But, I kind of sensed that early on, and I said, you know, I'm just going to try to command my fastball better and then, you know, keep throwing it and keep them off balance. And, you know, and it worked out. We made some good plays. And, you know, it's just one of those things you just got to battle through.
Division team that we should see quite a bit of. How did you watch the last couple of games, and where did you take from that today?
You know, I think it's just getting ahead. And, you know, you might not always make that good pitch with two strikes, but if you're ahead constantly, you know, you're really going to put the pressure on them and to put the ball in play. And, you know, you get a little bit more leeway when you're always ahead of guys than when you keep falling behind. And that's really been my main mindset the whole time going in.
So there it was. The Mariners split the series. They come home with a winning road trip and now play the Detroit Tigers for three games starting tonight. 7:10 first pitch. We'll look at those a little bit more in just a second. But first, a lot of moves made over the weekend. Tom Wilhelmsen sent to Tacoma. Ronis Elias sent to Tacoma. Vidal Nuno sent to Tacoma as well. Getting called up James Jones, but that was just temporary for a couple of games. And he played a big part in the game yesterday with some nice defense. Hisashi Iwakuma activated and will start tonight against the Tigers. David Rollins, who I mentioned a moment ago, Rule 5 pick. They either had to bring him up to the big league roster or send him back to the Astros. They chose to bring him up. He made his major league debut and pitched really well. He's been throwing really well, the reports are. And from the left side, a guy that can bring it in the mid-90s, not something you see very often. So he's up with the big league squad as well. And kind of an insight on the thought process behind all these moves, here is Lloyd McClendon.
I mean, obviously the moves that we made were made with one purpose, and that's to make our club better. You know, obviously with Wilhelmsen, he wasn't throwing the ball as well as he's capable of throwing, and we need to get him straightened out. So he goes down and try to work on his command. The move with Nuno was necessary because of Rollins, and Rollins was throwing the ball extremely well at AAA. I think he struck out 4 in 2 innings his last start in 93-96. So, you know, that brings him back to the mix. And Jones is replacing Elias as we speak right now. It just made sense. We don't need that starter for a couple of days, and we bring the speed in, and hopefully he can steal a base of 2-4s and help us win a ball game.
Tell us a little bit about Dave Rollins' Rule 5 draft pick, and what did you see the short time he was at spring training?
Well, he threw the ball extremely well. Yeah, he was so impressive. He really, you know, was in serious consideration for making our club out of spring training. I think he was 94-96 and was very, very impressive. He really pounded the strike zone and gave lefties a really hard time. So, and you know, he went through the process. He went on the rehab process with AAA, finished up strong down there, touching 96. His last outing, I think he struck out 4 in 2 innings, so he's very impressive in that manner. So and it was time for him to come back, or we lose him. So we chose to bring him back.
And speaking of Lloyd McClendon, this is real and puts everything in perspective. Lloyd McClendon lost his younger sister a couple of days ago, so he's going to be away from the team for the next three ball games. So the Detroit series, Lloyd McClendon will not be there. Trent Jewett will be managing the ball club while he's gone. But here's, before the ball game, an emotional Lloyd McClendon talking to Rick Riz about the situation briefly.
Skip, some sad news in your family. Your younger sister passed away a few days ago. Won't be with the ball club for a little while. Tell us a little bit about the situation, and our hearts really go out to you and your entire family.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, I've tried to keep it as quiet as possible because I did not want to distract the club. You know, obviously, you manage with a heavy heart, and but we'll get through this. You know, we'll get through it.
All right, Skip, our thoughts and prayers are with you and your family. Take care, buddy, and we'll see you when you get back.
Thank you.
So tough situation there for Lloyd McClendon and his family. Thoughts, well wishes, everything with him and his family. It's tough when anyone goes through those types of situations, and we all do, unfortunately, at one time or another. But we wish Lloyd McClendon the best, so he'll be away for the next three games while the Mariners are taking on the Detroit Tigers at Safeco Field. So speaking of Detroit, this is how things set up. It's a pretty interesting series for a couple of reasons. One, the Tigers haven't necessarily played great baseball as of late. They've been hovering around the 500 mark, but they have not been able to make a dent really into Kansas City's lead. They're six back of KC. They're game and a half back of Minnesota right now at 41-40. They're 4-6 in their last 10 ball games. Their differential now has sunk to minus 12 on the season, and pitching has been part of the problem. They've yielded 371 runs this year, and just in terms of comparing that to other American League teams, that's the fourth most. You got the Red Sox 397, far and away the leaders, the Blue Jays at 374, Rangers at 373, and the Tigers at 371. Tigers are a team that can still score, but they have struggled with the bullpen at times and also the rotation at times as well. Now, a couple of key items with this series. I'm sure you know by now, Miguel Cabrera is on the disabled list. He got hurt over the weekend trying to steal second base, which has to sting, especially with how things have gone for the Tigers. And he is having an absolutely monster season, batting 350, 15 home runs, and 54 RBIs. Now, they still have firepower. You have to watch. J.D. Martinez has been excellent. He's essentially having the same year that Nelson Cruz is having. He's batting 285, 23 homers, 56 RBIs. Yoenis Cespedes batting 292. He's in double figures with home runs. But those are the only two guys. If you take Cabrera out of the mix, those are the only two in double figures in home runs. And it's such, at least such a giant hole. Ian Kinsler hasn't quite been himself yet this year, batting 269, a couple of home runs, 36 RBIs. Victor Martinez has struggled with injuries all season. He's played in 49 games this year, but batting just 249 with a couple homers and 26 RBIs. They've had their issues, and Miguel Cabrera, that injury could really end up stinging this team pretty bad. Now, the other item about this, David Price has been outstanding. I expect him to be named to the All-Star team tonight. He's been good, as you'd probably expect. But the Mariners are going to miss David Price in this three-game series. So, nothing wrong with that. The Tigers got blasted by the Blue Jays yesterday, 10-5, and Justin Verlander, who they were hoping would get healthy and be that 1-2 punch with David Price, it is not looking like it so far. He went five innings, seven hits, seven earned runs. He struck out five, gave up two more homers, his ERA sitting at 6.75. So the Tigers having some issues as they come in. The pitching matchups look like this. Hisashi Iwakuma will get the ball tonight, 7-10 first pitch. So watch that start closely. Hisashi Iwakuma taking the mound. Taiwan Walker is going to go on Tuesday. Walker's been absolutely on fire. He's going to face Kyle Ryan, a young lefty. And then J-Hap, who's pitched really well his last two starts, He'll go against Anibal Sanchez. That's day baseball on Wednesday. So this is an opportunity series for the Mariners. We'll see if they can take advantage of it. Then the Angels come in for four after that. And, of course, we'll talk about that more as we get closer. But a big three-game series. Hope to see you at Safeco Field. So yesterday, a good day for the M's. Obviously, they get the win over the Oakland A's. And Nelson Cruz, named to the All-Star team for the Seattle Mariners, named a starter for the Seattle Mariners in the All-Star game. Starting lineups announced for the National League: Buster Posey, the catcher; Paul Goldschmidt at first; D. Gordon at second. You have Todd Frazier, the third baseman; Johnny Peralta, the shortstop from the Cardinals; Bryce Harper, Giancarlo Stanton, and Matt Holliday all named, although Holliday and Stanton injured. They'll most likely need to be replaced. So here's the American League All-Star team, at least the starting All-Stars for the American League. Goes like this: a lot of Royals, but not as many as it looked like there was going to be at one point. Salvador Perez will be the catcher. Miguel Cabrera named the team, but he's out 6 weeks again with that calf injury, trying to steal second base, so he'll have to be replaced. Jose Altuve with a late surge. He's the starting second baseman. Josh Donaldson of the Blue Jays, the starting third baseman. Alcides Escobar, the shortstop for the Royals. Mike Trout from the Angels. Lorenzo Cain, Alex Gordon from the Royals. And Nelson Cruz, the starting DH. He surpasses Kendrys Morales and outduels Prince Fielder as well, who's had a nice season. So congratulations to Nelson Cruz. Pretty big honor and pretty rare. I mean, he becomes the 10th Seattle Mariner to start. Once he does, he'll become the 10th to start in an All-Star game. Mariners have had a lot of starts, but only 10 guys now, 9 previous. You look at Alex Rodriguez, started 2 games at shortstop in the All-Star game. Ichiro has actually started the most for the Mariners. He has started 9 games, 9 All-Star games. He has started 3 in center field and 6 in right field. Randy Johnson started 2 as the pitcher for the American League in 95 and 97. Edgar started 4 times as the DH, odd years, 95, 97, 2001, and 2003. Remember, it's changed now in terms of the rules with DH. They just had it in the American League parks at those times. So Edgar, I think, would have had more even year starts as well. And that's pretty clear, kind of an obvious statement, but. Ken Griffey Jr., he started a lot, 90, 91, 92, 93, 94, 97, 98, 99, 8 starts in center field for the American League All-Stars. You have Robinson Cano starting last year at second base. Brett Boone in 2001 started at second base. John Olerud started at first base in 2001. And, of course, Felix Hernandez got the call last year on the mound for the Seattle Mariners. So those have been the entire list of Mariners who have started in the All-Star game, and now you can add Nelson Cruz to that total, and he deserves it. He's had a great year. You look at the numbers, the home runs, the RBIs, the batting average, the slugging, everything else. He's among the leaders in just about every category. One of my favorites is there's only 2 guys with over 20 homers, batting over 300. You're talking about Mike Trout, and you're talking about Nelson Cruz, and that's the kind of first half he has had. So well-deserving. He'll be an All-Star. Now, tomorrow on the podcast, we'll talk more about the rest of the All-Star team. I think it's going to be interesting to see where Felix ends up standing. I think he's deserving. There's a few things at play, though, when you start talking about each team needing an All-Star. It can make things a little more tight. There's a lot of guys having excellent years this year in the American League. I mean, Dallas Keuchel's going to make it for sure. He should probably get the starting nod at this point. In fact, that's who I would say should get the starting nod. Keuchel has 124 and a third innings and 2.03 ERA. He's been great. Sonny Gray deserves to be there. Archer deserves to be there. I think Price deserves to be there. And then Chris Sale, I think, is in that group as well. And then you have guys like Santiago, who's had a nice year, Gallardo, who's had a nice year for Texas, Felix Hernandez, I put in that group as well. But I think the case is there for Felix Hernandez to get in, but It'll be interesting to see if he is named once again to the All-Star team. I think he's deserving, but we'll see how it all shakes out. These things always get pretty interesting. And, of course, there'll be replacements and things like that as we get closer to the All-Star game, but we'll talk about that more coming up tomorrow. So, boy, I think we just covered a lot. It felt that way. So we have more to come tomorrow, too. Mariners take on the Tigers, game one. We'll talk about that coming up in the podcast tomorrow. But right now, we're going to hand things over to Charlie Furbush, Bullpen Banter time. By the way, in case you're interested in what bullpen banter looks like, it's usually recorded in the dugout. So I posted a picture on my Instagram when we were in Oakland over the weekend and just snapped the picture of Charlie Furbush doing the interview right there, right? The bullpen banter right there. So if you want to take a look on my Instagram at Gary Hill Jr., maybe I'll tweet it out tomorrow too. Just, you know, a little behind the scenes. A look at what goes down. But here it is, Charlie Furbush, Bullpen Banter.
Hey, we're back again with another edition of Bullpen Banter. What's up? I'm Charlie Furbush. Another weekly edition of my ridiculously awesome radio show. Today, my special guest is our video coordinator. I'm not really sure. Is that the right title? Jimmy Hartley on in the house tonight. How are you, dude?
Doing great. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Is video coordinator the right description?
That is the correct title.
Correct title. Video coordinator. Pretty awesome stuff. Jimmy, where did you grow up, man?
I grew up in Veneto, Oklahoma.
Veneto, Oklahoma. Is that a small town in Oklahoma?
Yes, very small town, about 6,000 people in northeast Oklahoma.
Yeah, right. You must be the most famous guy from that town.
Well, Dr. Phil was born there, so.
Oh, man. Well, I don't even want to get into Dr. Phil jokes, so. That's kind of cool, though. So I imagine you played some sports growing up, right?
Yeah, I played football, basketball, baseball in high school, but.
All right. Well, what was your favorite of the three, even though you are working with baseball? Were you more of a fan of?
No, I always grew up around baseball, and so that was my first love. Probably one of my best sport, but it was my favorite sport.
All right. What'd you play? Position?
I was a left fielder.
Left fielder?
Yeah.
How many home runs you hit in high school?
Zero.
Zero?
Yeah.
Come on, man. What'd you hit? You must have batted like, what, 350, 450?
Yeah, I mean about 300. I was more of your slash hitter, you know, gap to gap.
It's pretty good, but you end up going to Oklahoma State.
Yes.
The Oklahoma State Cowboys. Is that a huge rival in Oklahoma? Is it like half Oklahoma State, half OU? Is that what it is?
It's probably a little more OU. We like to say the people that are Oklahoma State fans went to school there.
That's great. So in college, did you study video coordinator?
Not at all. I was a business major in college, and then I got my MBA.
Okay.
And I worked for the baseball team at Oklahoma State, so that's kind of how I got into working in baseball.
Nice, man. Is there something that like you can immediately see, you know, inside the video room that we don't see live, that maybe a different view happens before, you know, maybe you make the call down to the dugout instead of the dugout calling you? Is that something you noticed before?
Yeah, every once in a while. There's certain things like, you know, maybe a runner sliding into second and he comes off the bag. Stolen base, that's the type of stuff that we see inside.
Yep.
Chris Prieto and I, that's something that we might call the dugout instead of the dugout calling us.
If you had to pick one famous actor to replay a movie about your life, what actor are you picking?
Jim Carrey or Tom Cruise or something. You know?
All right.
A
mixture of Jim Carrey and Tom Cruise. That's like a funny action movie, right? Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Yeah. When was your first day in the major leagues?
2006 with the Colorado Rockies. I was an intern that season.
Do you have any favorite baseball players growing up?
I was a huge Robin Ventura fan growing up, Oklahoma State.
Yep.
You know, anyone that played Oklahoma State, Jeremy Burnett, Pete Incaviglia, you know, other King Griffey Jr., obviously.
Of course. I mean, you must have been a little disappointed then when Robin tried to charge the mound on Nolan Ryan and, you know, didn't look too pretty after that.
Funny enough, I was actually at that game.
No way.
Yes. I still have the ticket stub.
That is
awesome.
So if you weren't a video coordinator, what do you think you'd be doing right now if you had another second crazy dream job?
I'd probably be an attorney right now. I took the LSAT before I got my first job in baseball, and my father and my brother are both attorneys, so I'd probably be working with them.
All right. Who doesn't like Doritos? Right. Everyone loves a good bag of Doritos, but there's so many flavors, but I'm going to stick with just the two. Cool Ranch or nacho cheese?
I go back and forth, but I think at this point in my life, I'm more of a Cool Ranch guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I'm definitely
was a Cool Ranch guy. Now I'm a Nacho Cheese guy.
What is your favorite candy? Put it this way. If you're going to Dairy Queen, you're going to get a Blizzard. What are you going to get the toppings? What are you putting in it?
Definitely Reese's Cup. Anything peanut butter. That's me.
That's you. All right. Anything peanut butter. If you could pick one point in time, whether it's now or in the future or whatever, what point in time would you go back to?
I think the Old West.
The Old West?
Yeah.
So that like the 50s?
No, like
1800s?
Yeah, 1880.
1880. Yeah. I can see you, you know, horseback riding.
Oklahoma Land Run, 1888.
There it is.
There you go.
Let's go buy a time machine and we'll go there. I want to know your go-to karaoke song.
Billy Joel.
Billy Joel.
We Didn't Start the Fire.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You get the people going.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking. That's what I'm talking about. I was a fan of Billy Joel growing up, and he, you know the song River of Dreams?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So for some reason, in the old boombox in my parents', you know, den, I would just put that song on repeat for like 4 or 5 hours for like a week straight because I wanted to memorize all the lyrics. You know, the internet didn't exist, you know, so you couldn't look them up. So I had to, like, write them down, and I was so jamming to the song. I don't know why, and I really don't listen to it anymore. But give me a little example of some Billy Joel, man. I'll be your background singer if you need it.
A little Start the Fire?
Yeah, we can go from the chorus.
Harry Truman, Doris Day, Red China, Johnny Ray, North Pacific, South Pacific, Joe DiMaggio. Television, South Korea, Marilyn Monroe.
We didn't start the fire.
It's only burning since the world's been turning. We didn't start the fire. No, we didn't light it, but we're trying to fight it.
Oh, you killed it, man. You killed it. Awesome. That's awesome. Jimmy, that's going to wrap it up. This week's edition of Bullpen Banter, video coordinator, one of the coolest guys in the clubhouse. Thanks for being on the show, man.
Thanks for having me.
All right, that's it. We'll see you guys next week.
And now we're going to end things as we usually do on Mondays. We'll turn it over to the week that was.
This is the week that was.
A look back on highlights and events of the Mariners' past week.
On Mariners Magazine.
Felix shakes a couple of times. Now nods, and the Kings 3-2. Pujols swings, and he lifts it high to left field. Gutierrez is there, has plenty of space, punches his glove one time. He skips, hops in the air, and he makes the catch. Pujols flies to left after a lengthy battle with the King. And Felix Hernandez today here in Anaheim has gone 6 scoreless innings with 8 strikeouts.
1-0 pitch.
Swing and a well-hit ball deep to right field. Calhoun looking up. Goodbye, baseball. Holy smokes, Kyle Seager has tied this game at 2-2 here in the top of the ninth inning with his 12th home run of the season.
3-2, swing and a ground ball up the middle, but right there behind the bag, Brad Miller got it. The throw to first in time to get Alonso, and it's 1-2-3 go the Padres in the bottom of the sixth. Mike Montgomery, what a story tonight. No runs, no hits.
I had a lot of family friends here, so it was cool. And, you know, I tried to block it out and just kind of pitch my game, but I think for them to kind of be here and experience that is pretty cool.
The pitch, swinging a fly ball into right field, and this is going to do it. Franklin Gutierrez out there waiting. He makes the catch, and it's over. And Mike Montgomery throws back-to-back shutouts in the big leagues. He blanks the Padres tonight by a score of 5-0 here at Petco Park.
He goes out and pitches. He competes. I mean, he's not scared to pitch the guys and attack guys, and I think, I mean, that's helped him a lot. And, I mean, he's got good stuff, and he's throwing all 4 pitches now for strikes and attacking guys. And, I mean, usually that's a good recipe for success.
Here's the pitch to Derek Norris. He swings, sends his pop-up into shallow left field. Coming in, Franklin Gutierrez. He's there and makes the easy catch. And that's it for San Diego in the bottom of the sixth inning. Taiwan Walker mowing him down. Here's the pitch on the way. Swinging a fly ball. Well hit. Into the gap. In left center field. Upton going back. Goodbye, baseball. Robinson Cano with an opposite field home run to left center here at Petco Park.
The pitch to Cruz. Swing and a high fly ball deep to left field. Upton going back to the track, to the warning track in the corner. Leaps up and it's gone. Goodbye, baseball. About the second roll back into the left field corner down the line, Nelson Cruz with his 20th home run of the season. 20 home runs
prior to the All-Star break. It's now the Mariners 7 and the Padres nothing.
Runner goes. Here's the pitch. It's swung on and hit high and deep to right field. Back on it is Reddick. He's at the warning track. He's at the wall. And this one is gone. A two-run home run by Seth Smith. And with one swing of the bat, the Mariners have taken the lead here in the sixth inning. It's the Mariners 4. It's the Oakland A's 3. A wallop by Smith has given the M's the lead.
The 0-2 to Nelly, swing and a fly ball deep into the gap in right center field. Going and going. Goodbye, baseball. He got him in. Nelson Cruz with his 21st home run of the season. Here's a swing and a drive deep into the gap in right center field. Going back, Burns leaps up, and this one is gone. Goodbye, baseball. Holy smokes, the fourth two-run shot for the Mariners in tonight's game. Brad Miller with his 8th home run of the season. And it's now the Mariners 9 and the Athletics 3. Number 8 for Brad Miller.